I want to start off, it's going to be kind of middle, Chris, but I want to start off, I've been reading a verse almost every week, and I'm going to start here, but let me just tell you what I was going to talk about tonight. I was going to talk about learning authentic you, and that there is a design that the Lord had for you way before our sinful nature messed that up. Would you agree with that? And we don't get to outvote that design. There is an authentic you that the Lord has for you. And I'm going to get into this next week, but when we go into Colossians chapter 3, and you don't have to put it up there if you don't want to, Chris, but when it says to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, Colossians 3, verse 5, and it talks about getting rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. When it says to give up all those things, he is simply saying the reason you give up these things is because it is no longer part of the design that you've been redeemed to live in. There is a God design that you have been redeemed to live in. Salvation is not just about securing your eternal destiny. It is about redeeming you to live in your intended design. And the way you get to know you is you get to know him. Because we were created in what? His image. So if we're created in the image of God, the only way to understand your design is to start to understand his. It's to start to understand who he is, what he does, and we are actually in him. So the way he responds to things should be the way we respond to things. When things come against you, we should respond to those things just as Jesus did. This whole series is called Behold Jesus. Look to him. Behold him. He is the model. Right? So when they went to crucify him, whether we can read the text however we want to, but this is essentially it. When we came to crucify him, he gave himself to us. He didn't push back, even though he could have. He didn't call down fire from heaven and said, not today. In fact, the only prayer that led him was not my will, but the will of the Father. Not my will be done, but your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. He gave himself over and said, crucify me, because you don't understand what's going to happen after that. And it's going to be so much better than what you think you're doing. And when he was crucified, we know he was in the grave for 3 days, and he resurrected, and we resurrected with him from death to life. Amen to that. Amen. And then when he ascended to heaven, the Lord says, I have seated you with me in where I have ascended to, at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 2 tells us we are seated with him in heavenly places, at the right hand of God, also in Colossians chapter 3. So we are with him in heavenly realms, all right? We are with him, and in order to understand who we are with him, we have to embrace this idea that everything we're designed to do is found in simply an intimate expression with the Lord. Now, the three scriptures, and I can go into all that for a long time, but I want to set that up to just focus on three scriptures tonight, because I feel like this really deals with what we're going through in this house. Isaiah 40, I'm going to read verses 29 through 31, and if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Luke 5. Isaiah 40, 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. How many of you are there tonight? A lot of people. But those who trust in the Lord, someone shout trust, will find new strength. And here's the part I've been reading almost every week. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The question that I want to address is, how do the weak get power and how do the powerless get strength? How do youth move from tired and exhaustion to being renewed from being tired to soaring on wings like eagles. It's one thing. Those who trust in the Lord move from weakness to strength, move from weariness, from exhaustion, to finding new strength and soaring with the Lord. When we start to trust in God, it actually replaces everything that we think is depleted. Because you cannot be depleted if you're with the one who is never ending, who is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, who fulfills not just some of our needs, but our every need, and who gives us strength in the middle of our weakness. So to say, I can't go on anymore, you're actually denying the presence of God in your life. Because everything you need is found in Him. Now here's what's interesting. The word trust in Hebrew is kawa, K-A-W-A, and this is what it literally translates. Entwine yourself with. Entwine. Entwine yourself. Like, in other words, if you have like pieces of string and you're wrapping yourself up in it, entwine yourself. And it says to trust in the Lord or entwine yourself with His thoughts. So those who get entwined or those who get wrapped up in thinking of the Lord, knowing the Lord, getting your thoughts on the Lord, when you start to wrap yourself up in who He is, that is where you're going to find your strength. That is where you move from exhaustion to overwhelming energy to soar on wings like eagles. Not because we're praying for wings. Not because we're praying for a new level. But because we're getting so entwined in thinking on Him that we get distracted from the false narrative that things could actually exhaust us. Yes. We're getting so distracted in watching Him and focusing on Him and fixating our eyes on the Lord that we actually move from focusing on anything that presents a lie that we could be exhausted or that we could be overwhelmed or that we could be overcome because we're seated with the one in heavenly realms who has overcome. So if we're with Him in a place of He has overcome, why would you ever think that you can fail? Now let's put that into the category of the church in a movement seeking God. If we ever come into a worship gathering tired and hoping we can get to a place of worship, no one can take you there but one person. Who is that person? Jesus. How does He take you there? It's not that you hope you get there. It's that you get everything in your mind focused on Him. Amen. So you get your mind off of why are the musicians and the singers off the stage. You get your mind off of I had a long day at work. I'm glad I could finally get here. You get your mind off of your relationship issues. You get your mind off of your financial problems. You get everything on, I am focusing on You, Lord. And as you focus on Him, He renews your strength. He moves you from exhaustion to everything you need. And when you get into the place of more than enough because you're thinking on Him, He'll actually give you to the solutions from the problems you just got distracted with or distracted from. So I'm not going to set my eyes on my issues. I'm going to set my eyes and my focus on Him, and when I get lost in Him, He gives me the solutions that I was trying to meditate for. Because we come into worship gatherings and have all these things set out, and Lord, I don't know how to do this. You've got to give me something. You've got to give me something. What if we worshiped Him without ever expecting anything in return? Right? When you entwine yourself with God, we focus on Him, we look to Him, we know Him, and when you start to focus and get to know Him, you actually start to get to know you. And this is why in Luke 11:34, Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. Whatever your eyes are entwined with will affect your whole persona. So if your eyes are affected on your issues, you will be sick. Whether that's a literal physical sickness or a metaphorical emotional sickness. If your eyes are only entwined with your "I don't have this and I wish I had that," you are actually inviting a different persona than what the Lord intended for you. That's why he says, get your eyes on me, because your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. If your eyes are on the light, your body will light up. So what happens when you get sick literally? What happens when you get diagnosed literally? You can focus on the diagnosis or focus on the one who can handle the diagnosis. Last week when Susan went to the hospital, everyone was praying over her. Her husband was praying over for people in the hospital rooms, walking down the hallway. Everyone was coming into agreement. And every sign pointed to stroke, and by the time it got done, the doctors say, there's nothing wrong, it's just we need to give her some medication for some blood vessel issues. Here's what I believe. I believe there was something wrong. But the focus was not on the something wrong. The focus was on the light, and the light burned up the wrong to where nothing in the natural agreed with what the light burned up. Amen. You believe that, Susan? Good. In the same way, what we are focused on, your eye is like a lamp that provides light. So if you're depressed, but all you can look at is your depression, you will never get out of that dark place.
That's right.
Right? You take that into every corner of your being. You focus on him, you get to know you. You focus on his strength, he will give strength to your weakness. You focus on his never ending, you will come out of your exhaustion. Because when you're focused on never ending, you walk into never ending. You can't get exhausted because you're walking with the one who doesn't stop. Who was and is to come. When your eyes are entwined or trusting in him, the rest of you will actually encounter his righteousness. And as Colossians 3 points out, this is becoming clothed in the knowledge of authentic you. What is the authentic you? The righteousness of God. Well, how can you say that we're righteous? Because we're created in his image. It's not that you're perfect. It's that you decide to embrace a new clothing rather than the clothing of your sinful nature. We're going to get into it next week, but I'm going to just make sure you understand this. Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. When you learn to know him, you learn to know you. When your eyes are focused on him, you clothe yourself in all he is. So when someone speaks negatively of you, you don't clothe yourself with their opinion. And because you don't clothe yourself with their opinion, you don't respond based off of what they said. If Jesus forgave all debt, how dare you hold debt against someone? If you were created in his image, your design is to never hold anything against anybody. People ask me all the time, how can you pray for and bless people who persecute you? Because I don't want to be in the environment of God Saturday nights alone. I want to be in an intentional environment with the Lord every moment, all the days of my life. And when I get my eyes on him, the light that is him comes into me. It burns up the darkness of revenge. It burns up the darkness of bitterness. It burns up the darkness of get even. and it brings out the light of bless those who don't deserve it. Love on the ones who don't love you. Give yourself to people who don't deserve anything. In other words, I get to know him, I get to know me, and people see him in me. That is being a testimony to the Lord. Your testimony should not be, I got saved because I was horrible. That's where your testimony begins. When was the last time you testified to, my eyes have been so wrapped up in him that I'm getting to know me more and it's causing me to be transformed day by day, glory to glory. Amen. Where am I at? Becoming clothed in the knowledge of authentic you comes from being putting on a new nature that he purchased the right for you to put on. Now, here's what I want to end tonight, and you're going to probably hear this again next week, but I feel very strongly that this is really where we need to minister tonight. Because this is a passage that we have read, I know for me, in all my years of ministry, especially since I was about 22, so that, you know, that's only 3 years. But I have been reading this passage, I've heard it preached a million times, but there's a part of this that just, it jumped out to me in my study time that I've never really paid attention to. Luke 5, 37 through 39. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine will burst the wineskins, spilling the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. So twice here you say new wine in new wineskins. He presents the point, and he goes back to, you must store new wine into new wineskins. Now look at this. No one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new. Jesus gave you a new wineskin of righteousness to receive the new wine of him that he wants to pour into. But you're not going to want to taste him if you keep drinking of the old nature. You're not going to want to take a drink from the goodness of the Lord if you're still drinking the old wine of the old nature that he's redeemed. What is the old wine of the old nature? He literally lists it out in the scripture. Put to death sinful things lurking within you. This is Colossians 3:5. Have nothing to do with sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. Verse 8, get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. You've stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. He says, anything that is opposite of the Lord, if you keep drinking from it, you are not going to even have a craving for what's new. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. I don't want this desire anymore. He's already taken care of that. You've got to stop taking a drink from it. Put on the new wineskin, that is the clothes of righteousness, the identity of God. Put on the new wineskin that he purchased through Calvary on the cross, defeating death, hell, and the grave. Put on that wineskin so that you can receive him. What happened with the what was it, 120 in the upper room? They were putting on a new wineskin of, we just want you. We trust in you. They were so trusting in the Lord, they were so entwining their thoughts on the one who just left that they would not move from that position of seeking. They were trusting in him. Their thoughts were focused on him. And what happened because of that? They put on this new wineskin of, all I want is you. The next thing you know, they receive the baptism of Holy Spirit in the upper room. They had all these signs, wonders, and miracles. 3,000 people were added to the church that day, all because they didn't want to drink from anything else. If we want to see a true move of God as a people of God, we have to want nothing but him. Nothing but him. Lord, I want you to consume everything of me. I want my eyes on you so that your light burns up the darkness, so that your light lights up the darkness. I want to embrace my new nature, put on my new nature, Colossians 3:10. Put on the new wineskin of you so that I can receive everything that you have for me. What is everything that he has for you? To be totally ransomed in his image. To be totally transformed into who he is. That does not mean we become God. It does mean we walk in the image of God, because he says the way I want to get my image in the earth is to redeem you and work through you, but you've got to put on a new wineskin that I bought for you. His blood is the new wine of communion. His blood is the new wine of communion. But you can't hold it if you don't put on a new nature. It's not that you're waiting to be transformed. It's you're daring to believe that you already have been. I said this last week. You're not trying to get to heaven. You start to live from heaven. Because according to the scriptures, you have been seated in heavenly places. We're with him in the heavenly realms. So when we get our thoughts totally consumed in who he is, we actually start to understand who we are. The big question tonight for all of us is, have you lost your appetite for the Lord because you keep drinking from every other well? You keep drinking the old wine. I can sum up the religious spirit in two words. Try harder. What does religion try to convince you to do? Try harder. What does relationship with the Lord convince you to do? Receive what you can never try harder for. Receive a gift that you don't have to work for. Become entwined in thinking on him all the days of your life. And you receive a newness that you would never earn through any level of sacrifice. Our sacrifice is in response to what he did. Because we give up things because we're already feasting on him. He is the bread. He is the living water. He is the new wine. What does that mean? I trust in God to sustain me, not my talent. I trust in the Lord to provide for me, not working the system of tithing. Hear that. Don't tithe because you're working a system. Tithe because you have been entwined and I don't want to give to anything else. It's not let me work the principles of God. It's let me just get consumed in who he is, because when I get consumed in who he is, I start to meet myself, and my intended design is God gets my first. He gets the first of my finances. He gets the first of my relationships. He gets all worship. I don't get greedy for anything. I only get hungry for him. It's he becomes the focus of all things. So if you think about the scripture that talks about giving, and it says give as you had decided unto your heart, it's not that you decide to give. It's that you decide to get entwined in him, and the fruit is you give. It's not that you pray about in the mountain, decide on it. Get entwined in him, and your natural will be, I want to sow this. It's all I want is the Lord to fulfill me. So my eyes are on you. I'm receiving the new wineskin. I'm receiving that I'm better than I think I really am. It is not prideful or arrogant to understand that you are clothed in righteousness. It's just you're finally receiving truth. It is not boastful or sinful to understand that we are seated with God in heavenly places, because you're receiving a gift that you never have to try to earn. The church must move from a routine of casual worship to every response in worship gatherings is simply, I want more and I thirst for nothing else. I thirst for nothing else. I don't thirst for a style. I don't thirst for a specific song. I don't thirst for a specific environment. Lord, I just thirst for you. Lord, I just thirst for you. Because as far as the east is from the west, he's removed all of our sins. Amen. So why do we still live as if they're still there? Well, I'm not worthy. You weren't in your old wineskin.
That's right.
What if the next phase or season of your life is dependent on you actually believe that you are worthy because he made you worthy? He made you unto righteousness. He brought you to himself. Prayer should not be, Lord, I need something. Prayer should be, I want to start everything in my life from a posture of, Lord, here I am. How do you want to use me? And when you do that, he answers all your needs. What if we spend more time in our prayers of God, can you please give me an answer, please give me an answer, when you should be in so entwined with him as the answer that you trust that answers will come because you're already seated with him, because you're already walking with him. I think a lot of times in prayer we're asking God to do something because we still think we're not hand in hand with him. If Jesus came as second Adam, he restored us walking with him in the cool of the day. So why do we still have a posture of, I hope I get there, when the Lord says, I've already brought you there? The Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. You can't get any closer.
Amen.
I was listening to a podcast this week, one of my favorite podcast persons, and I won't tell you who it is. But Dave Ramsey said, he was talking to someone, and they have a very normal Christian view. Someone basically, they were talking about finances and how they didn't want to prepare for finances because they believed the rapture was going to happen. and Dave Ramsey said, oh yeah, I wish that would happen too. But in the meantime, we got to steward our things well. And the thing that really stood out to me was the, is it weird that I'm not wanting to be rescued from the earth? You want to know why I don't want to be rescued in a rapture? Because I've already been raptured. I'm already caught up in the presence of God. I'm already with him in heavenly places. What other place do I need to be other than, Lord, I'm inviting that reality because all I want to do is drink from you. What if the Lord did everything on the cross? What if it was finished? Well, it is, Kyle. Then start living like that. Start talking like that. Start getting your end-time belief in line with that. Start getting your end-time belief in line with that. End time and in time. What if we actually believe what Jesus said? What if we actually believe that he accomplished everything he needed to in his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
What if we actually believe that he gave us a new nature, he has given us a new wineskin, and oh, he wants to pour himself in more and more and more so bad. But if you keep drinking from those old sinful natures, you won't be able to handle what he's trying to pour in, so he won't. But you know what he will do? Oh, I'm still going to be with you. I'm still going to talk to you. I'm still going to convict you. But oh, how the Lord desires that we don't have to go through a cycle of conviction. I believe what the Lord is wanting to do in a company of people in this region is for a people to be so sold out to him that there is no other lover that replaces him. And oh, we replace him with so many other lovers. We love all these things. And we say we trust in God, but we drink from the things because we don't want to be that patient for his answers. But you know what the great thing is about Jesus' wine? According to his first miracle, he's got the best wine. What does the passage say? He says, oh, I thought we usually serve the best, what's that? The good wine first. But y'all reserve the best for last. It's there for the taking. Take what? The goodness of God. The love of God. Get your eyes focused on him. Your eyes are like a lamp. Your nature is as new wineskin clothing. And if you pursue him, I'm going to go back to Isaiah 4. He gives power to the weak. He gives strength to the powerless. You will become weak and tired. You will fall into exhaustion. But if you trust in him, you will find strength. Get entwined, fix your gaze, and start drinking from the wine that is the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Lord, I just thank you for such a powerful word. That your wine is so much better than any other wine. Your love is better than any other lover. Let our thoughts get entwined with you. Twisted up where we cannot tell us apart from your spirit, Lord. You tell us, Lord, that you are in the Father is him, and just in the same way we are in you. Lord, let us begin to walk in that reality where we see no more separation. So, Lord, right now I pray that you highlight the old wine that we're drinking from so that tonight we throw that cup away and take your cup. I'm sensing right now as I'm praying that the Lord is saying that there are people in here who have become bored with worship. And I want to tell you that the Lord is not mad at you. He's jealous for you. And if you become bored with worship, it's because you're drinking of too much other wine. Is because your thoughts have been wrapped up in so many other things. He's showing me a picture of complacency. There's also people in here, I don't know if it's many or one, but bored in their life rhythm, that they feel like they're stuck and they can't get out. They feel like they're stuck and they can't move forward. And I believe that the Lord is saying tonight, He wants you to move forward and He has steps to move you forward. But you can't receive it in your old wineskin. He says, put on new nature, drink from me. Put on the new wineskin that you are saved unto righteousness. You're not pitiful, you're not broken. You are redeemed, you are beautiful. And when you start to drink of that, when you start to receive that, He will pour things into you that you will move from your stuck faster than you can say amen. Lord, highlight the places we're drinking from that is opposite of you. Lord, we thank you that we get to fix our eyes on you. Lord, we thank you that you have purchased new clothes for us. And tonight we decide right now, we're putting on that new nature. If you agree with that, can you just say, I'm putting on the new nature? The new nature. I want to sing that chorus of He has done great things one more time. But this time let's sing it from this posture of we are in new wineskin. And as we sing this praise, we're ready for new wine. And then we'll leave tonight. Let's just sing that out. Come on, team.
He has done great.